Okay, can. Right. Okay, let's start over again. I want to wish all the mothers happy Blessed Mother's Day. And may the Lord bless every mother for her sacrifice and love. The mothers do give a lot to their children. All right? Okay, let us pray. Father God, we want to pray for all the mothers among us. Lord, that through them you have brought children into this world. I want to pray for all the mothers that you will continue to bless them, Lord, and honor them. And remember all the hard work they have done to raise their children, to take care of their children, and for all the sacrifice and love that they have given to their children. For we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we celebrate Mother's Day, I'd like to suggest to you that motherhood is more than just raising up your own children. Definitely include raising up your children, right? God has given to you. But motherhood also means there's more than just raising up your children. And it's not only meant just for the ladies, it's also for the guys. What do I mean by that? Let's consider. I came across this poem. It's called Motherhood. Okay, it's the words a bit small, don't worry. I'm going to show you the words. Motherhood is not simply giving birth and then putting in your time, waiting for the moment when the children grow and off they go to strive or falter on their own. Motherhood is not the sum of all that you have done. Motherhood is who you are. Whether they are near or far, motherhood isn't what you do, it's the very heart and soul of you. In other words, motherhood is not just raising up children, it's that included, but it's more than that. It's who you are. And it's not only just for ladies, it's for everyone, us. The gift of motherhood is actually the gift of nurturing. God has given us the ability to nurture. And starting with, in this case, we can learn about this gift of nurturing from mothers. So in the book of Genesis, after the fall of Adam and Eve, and Adam named his wife Eve because she's the mother of all living things. All living. In other words, everyone else has a mother. Everyone else come into the world except for Adam. He was created by God. But after that, everyone else, we come into this world through our mothers. And so when Adam named Eve, the mother of all living, Eve hasn't given birth yet. She hasn't given birth to Cain and Abel. But Adam named her the mother of all livings. And what I'd like to suggest to you, that when God gives this ability to Eve, this ability is given to every woman. You know, I know in some situations, some of us are singles, we are not married, and we don't have children. Some of us may be married but have no children. All right? You still have the gift of being a mother. Because the gift of motherhood is the gift of nurturing. So when we think for a moment about this gift of nurturing, you look in the context, right? We know that biological nurturing, when a child is conceived in the mother's womb, the child begins to receive from the mother. It's automatic. In other words, the moment a woman receives a fetus through conception with a husband, the fetus starts to grow, and the fetus begin to receive nutrients from the mother. They don't need to sign on, you know. Okay, the mother says, I'm going to sign on to feed you, you know. Because it's automatically created by God that the woman's body will feed the child, the fetus, and the child will going to grow. And it's called biological nurturing. I use my own description. It may not be scientific in any way, but it's biological nurturing. Biologically, in the sense that it comes from the woman's body to the child, to the fetus. And even nowadays, scientists who study about the growth of fetus, they say that even the mother's emotion at this point in time may affect the child. So the nurturing may not be just biological, but it's also including the psychological. So that is the gift that God has given to mothers. And that is one specific gift. Specific aspect of the gift, all right? But then we know that when the child is born, I call it semi-biological and psychological nurturing, because breastfeeding is a normal process that God has created, that women are able to feed their child. And whatever the woman eat, you know, that becomes nutrients for the child in terms of the breastfeeding. But at the same time, we know that at this point after birth, the child began to grow, and it's more than just breastfeeding. You need to talk to the child. You need to spend time with the child. You need to cuddle the child. You know, yesterday, Friday, I went for my usual regular blood test early in the morning. And I was at a polyclinic in Yishun. I was sitting there for a blood test, and I saw a mother carrying a baby, probably a month-old baby. And the child is going for vaccination, for blood test too. It's not vaccination, it's a blood test. So when the staff inject, you know, to take a blood from the child cry. Who are there to comfort the child? It's the mother. In this case, the father was there too. So they comfort the child. So in a sense that nurturing is more than just feeding. It's also the idea of comforting, embracing, and cuddling the child. And that is part of psychological nurturing. And certainly as the child grow older, we continue to provide for them. We don't just put food on the table, although that is important. We also want to talk to them. We want to guide them. We want to teach them. And that is, I would consider that as providing and psychological nurturing. So this whole process, right, is more than just raising your own children. It's the whole idea of that to be a mother is to have the gift to nurture. And this gift on nurturing is given to every woman beyond carrying the fetus to term. But the thing is this, this gift of nurturing is not just given to women. It's also given to every one of us, even men included. Paul and his team, when they were ministering in 1 Thessalonians, in Thessalonica, in 1 Thessalonians, he says, but we, that is Paul and his mission team, and the team are all guys, all right? We were gentle among you, like a nursing mother, taking care of her own children, being affectionately desirous of you. We were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also ourselves, because you have become very dear to us. So the gift of nurturing, while it may be given to the woman in a very specific form, or biological and so forth, but this gift of nurturing is actually given to all us, that we are able to nurture others. And that is, in a way, you can call it motherhood. And in some cases, you know, there are situations where in the family, the mother is no longer around. And the father had to take on the role of being a mother. And I come across this particular poem on Mother's Day, written by a lady to her mother. And this is what she says. On Mother's Day, I give my dad a card. He is my dad and mother. I wish I had a mother, but he is really good at being both and loving me. In other words, there is also a situation where the father can play the role of a mother and care for the child. Therefore, I'd like to suggest to you, right, the gift of motherhood is the gift of nurturing. Women in particular have received a special aspect of the gift of nurturing through biological giving birth and so forth. But the gift of motherhood is given to all us so that we too can nurture others around us. And there's such a thing called spiritual nurturing, where we nurture new converts like what Paul and his team did. Like a mother, they nurture them. So that is the first thing I'd like to share about motherhood. The second thing is that the gift of motherhood, the gift of nurturing, is a tough work. It's tough. We may say, oh, our children is difficult. Let me tell you this, even if you have a perfect child, you may still have a difficult situation. You know why I say that? Because it's the story of Jesus. When Jesus was 12 years old, he went to the temple with his parents. And after the ceremony has finished, right, the parents went back to Nazareth. But Jesus stayed behind. Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, and his parents did not know about it. And the parents went around looking after that. You know, after some time, they couldn't find that. How come Jesus didn't come back for dinner? How come he didn't come for breakfast? The parents start looking among the relatives, going to ask uncles, aunties, and so on. Do you see my son Jesus? Not around. And so they ran back to Jerusalem to search for him. I'd like to suggest to you, this is a typical case of failures to communicate. You know, sometimes we complain to our children and say, our children doesn't tell us where they go. You know, they come back late, they don't call and tell us. Jesus did the same thing in this case. 12 years old, right? 12 years old is the time when our children want to be, for a baby who come to 12 years old, they want to be independent, learn to be independent. So there's a classic case of failure to communicate. And so Joseph and Mary went back to Jerusalem searching for them. Right? And after 3 days, they found him. Can you imagine the 3 days that they were searching for them? Oh, they are very relaxed, sit in the cafe, Starbucks, drink coffee. Oh, no worry, you know, Jesus will be okay. They were anxious. Yeah, I think they're like, oh, us, we were all panicked when we come find our child. You know, long time ago, when my son was about 5 years old, so at that point in time, you know, after church service, my wife would bring my son home. I would stay back in church for some other ministries. So at that point in time, I was working in city area, right? Then the, you know, city square shopping center. So that day, my wife brought my son home, and as they were going to the MRT station, Raffles Street MRT station, right? As she go into the shopping mall, there was loud music. And it's Power Ranger. In those days, Power Ranger is very popular. And my son hear the music, and it's Power Ranger. He ran into the crowd. And my wife couldn't find my son. And for 1 minute, she panicked in crisis. What color did my son wear, the shirt? Forgotten about that. You know, so my wife was in panic, you know, for that one few minutes, you know. Thankfully, someone found my son, you know, brought him to the information counter, and they announced, oh, we found a boy, very sure. And so, thank God. But I tell you, just for the few minutes, probably the whole episode ended up probably half an hour, my wife was in distress. But can you imagine, Jesus was missing for 3 days? Right? Probably Mary would, where's my son? And after 3 days, they found him. And certainly, as parents, you know, I'd like to suggest to you, if your son ever or your children ever come back late and so on, and you get very anxious and so forth about them, you know, when you first see them, when they come back home, you know, after so-called, quote-unquote, missing for 12 hours or whatever, the first thing you do is don't scold them. Hug them. Give them a hug. All right? You can talk about the SOP procedure in the future later on. Okay, that's my suggestion to you. All right, yeah, I learned it from someone else. All right, and so the parents saw, and the mothers, if I couldn't find any point where the mother is angry with Jesus and so forth, but the mothers did ask the son, "Son, why have you treated us so? Your father and I have been searching for you in distress, great distress. In other words, panic. In other words, agony. In other words, anxious for 3 days." Because Jesus did not communicate with the parents. You know, nowadays you say, oh, you know, son, you can always SMS me, you can always WhatsApp me, you can always Telegram me, there's so many, you know. All right? But in those days, they don't have all that. But they have their own system. You know, maybe you tell your uncle where you are going to go, you tell your cousin where you're going to go, you tell your neighbors where you're going to go, so you will know where to find you. Didn't have. And so, you know, they were in great distress. Now, I'd like to point out something to you. Jesus did not apologize. Instead, Jesus says, why were you looking for me? Do you not know that I must be in my Father's house? And the parents did not understand what he was trying to say. Sound familiar for us who are parents? When we have children and our children say certain things, what are you trying to say? We are worried for you, you know what you're trying to say. But I suggest to you, your children probably also to say, parents, what are you trying to do? I need something good, you know. Because Jesus was in the temple, he did not apologize for causing distress, but he was in the temple. Because the parents was very amazed that he was in the temple listening to the teachers and able to talk and dialogue with them. But the thing is this, you know, remember Jesus is only 12 years old. While he knows that he has a mission, but he knows that 12 years old, he cannot start his mission. And so the Bible tells us that he was submissive to them. Right? He was submissive. He went down with them. And for the next 20 years, he lived with them. My point in all this is that, you know, sometimes as parents, we beat ourselves up. Oh, I didn't do a good job. Or we beat ourselves up. We try to control our children even more because we thought we have more control. And then it gets worse. You know? Nurturing, the gift of motherhood, the gift of nurturing is tough work. Because we are not dealing with a robot. Robot, you can program and the robot will tell you what, the robot will just follow your order. We are dealing with another human being who has a freedom of will. Just as Jesus, while he may be God, he was also a human being with the freedom of will to respond to the situation he sees fit at the point in time. And that is the one that causes tension. Certainly, you know, as parents and children, you know, children, you need to establish with your parents the protocol so that they don't get anxious about you. Parents, you need to place your expectation on your children to let them know that what you expect from them and have an agreement as to how to communicate and so forth, right? So that there will be peace. But still, things can still go haywire and it's tough work. So parents don't, mothers in particular, don't beat yourself up. Don't say that you're a lousy mother because my children are not communicating with me, right? Remember, your children also have a will of their own, and it's tough work. Communication is an ongoing process that we have to keep on doing, keep on communicating. I can tell you, my son is already 30-something years old. I still have to spend time communicating with him to have clear understanding what is expected. That is the gift of nurturing. And so this aspect of nurturing is tough work, bring us to the final stage of what is nurturing. This story brings us to that. So the gift of nurturing is also about learning to trust God and let go. As parents, as mother, we have to learn to trust and let go. See, there was this particular incident many years later after the 12-year-old incident. All right? On the third day, there was a wedding at Canaan and Jesus and his disciples and the mother were invited. And at the wedding, the wine ran out. And the mother of Jesus came to Jesus and said, they have no wine. Although the Bible doesn't give a bit more description, but from that statement, it seems that there is an expectation for Jesus to do something. Remember, he has gone back home. He has been very submissive since 12 years old. He has been living a submissive life, listening to the parents, obeying the parents, doing what the parents say. Then come to this point, at this stage, Jesus is about to start his career to save the world. And so there is this moment of tension where the usual pattern of relating and now the new pattern of relating is coming in together. So 20 years later, Jesus has become an adult and he wanted to save the world because that's what he's called to do. But then when Jesus saw her mother's request as a potential problem in their relationship, and that is why Jesus said to Mary, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." In other words, Jesus saw in that request, not that it's wrong for Mary to request, but Jesus saw in that request a potential problem in their relationship because Jesus is going to embark on the journey. They may not be what Mary wants for him. And so Jesus said, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? Why are you telling me what to do?" But then, you know, Jesus being Jesus, while he has his own journey, he still listened to the mother, or at least he still helped the mother, right? And so when Jesus says, "Woman, what does this have to do with me?" he was actually drawing a boundary. Now that I'm an adult, now that I begin to do my father's will as an adult, no longer 12 years old, but as an adult, doing the father's will, a boundary has to be drawn. And the boundary is, he's not going to embark on his journey that may not be what Mary liked. I assume that if Jesus was to listen to Mary, and even as an adult listen to Mary, probably Jesus won't go die on the cross. The mother don't adult. Which mother want your son to go and die on the cross or child to go and suffer? No. But in this case, Jesus was following the Father's will for him. But although despite all these things, despite the fact that Jesus draw a boundary, Mary knew that Jesus would help. So there is a tension here. While the request is not wrong, but the request can be perceived or seen as trying to control the behavior of the adult child. But Jesus draw a line on the floor. What has that to do with me? But yet he helped. In other words, he's drawing a boundary. And Mary knew that Jesus would help because Mary told the servant, do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. In other words, Mary knew that Jesus would help. But at the same time, Jesus is drawing a boundary. Later on, as Jesus continued his ministry, I'd like to suggest to you that the family was very distressed by Jesus' ministry. Because at one stage, Jesus was accused of being having an unclean spirit. And immediately after the accusation, Jesus, Mary and his brother, Jesus' stepbrothers appeared. So Jesus was accused, he has an unclean spirit, and then immediately his mother and his brother came and they sent to him and called him. And the crowd said, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. In other words, that care and concern. Why did Mary actually go? Because Mary, like all mothers, worries. We all worry about our children, even when our children are older person, independent adults. We worry. But then Jesus is going on his journey. While the mothers may worry about him, he says, who are my mothers and brothers? Here are my brothers, my mother and brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother, sister, and mother. In other words, while Jesus appreciates the care of his family, he cannot do what the family says. He has to go and continue his journey. And so in motherhood, in nurturing, when we care for someone, when we nurture someone, there comes a point we have to let the person go and trust God. Trust God to take care of the person. Trust God to take care of our child. Trust God to take care of our children as they grow, as they become adults. Because nurturing is not controlling them until they have no freedom to do what they want. Until they have no more freedom to have their own will, to desire. Nurturing is not that. The final stage of nurturing is to trust God and let go. And so, Mary let go of Jesus and let him fulfill his destiny. But Jesus never forget his mother. And that's where we all children, you know, we let's not forget our parents. When Jesus was on the cross, he saw his mother standing beside the disciple whom he loves. And Jesus told Mary, woman, behold your son. That is the disciple. And Jesus told the disciple, behold your mother. While Jesus was fulfilling his destiny, fulfilling the will of God for him, he remembered his earthly mother. That be sure that his earthly mother are taken care of. Certainly, Mary do have other children, right? Jesus have other brothers and half-brothers, so-called step-brothers, half-brothers and sisters. They would take care of her too. But at this point, at this stage, when he was on the cross, dying on the cross, fulfilling the Father's plan for him, he still remember his earthly mother to care for them. So what does that mean? In nurturing, we have to trust God. The last stage of nurturing is to trust God and let go. Letting go does not mean you do nothing. Letting go means that you pray for your adult children, because that is the gift of nurturing. That you pray for them as you let them go to do what God wants them to do. You pray for them. You intercede for them. That is what nurturing is all about. So as we celebrate Mother's Day, so remember, right, we are called to nurture our children. We are called to nurture those people that God placed in our care. In summary, I came across this quote. It says, loving your child is easy. Raising, and I put in bracket, nurturing your child is difficult. I believe all of us love our children, but to guide them, to teach them, to help them to grow, to raise them up well, is hard. It's complicated and ever-changing. To be a great parent, you need knowledge, skills, and everyone needs guidance. Let me say this. You know, the way my parents raised me up, I cannot use the same approach to raise my son up. It doesn't work. In fact, it probably feels even worse. Because the time has changed. The style of parenting has changed. The children that we have today are different from the children that when we were children. And therefore, we need knowledge and skills and we need guidance. And there is no better one to ask for guidance than God Himself. So let us ask God for guidance in using our gift of nurturing, whether it be mothers with children or nurturing people around us. We need God's guidance. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this gift of nurturing, the gift of motherhood that you've given to everyone of us, in particular to all the ladies among us, to all the Eves among us, whom you have blessed them with the gift of motherhood, the gift of nurturing. And for others of us who are created in Adam, we are not mothers, but we are fathers. We are spiritual mothers. Lord, we thank you for this gift of nurturing that you have given to us too, that we may be able to nurture and care for others. And help us, Lord, to care for the people that you place in our midst, to care for the people that you have placed in our lives, that we may nurture them and to trust you and to let them go when the time comes. So, Lord, we commit all this to you. We thank you for all the mothers among us. For we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.